All right. Two more sessions, and I really think they're some of the most important. And so we really need to now drill in, you know, kind of lean in. I know, so I'm not blind to it. We've been drinking from a fire hose, a lot of content. 159 slides to go through. We've been through, you know, 30. We're not going to go through all of them. It's impossible. But I want to give you now what has been some of those keystone habits that are getting us to traction, vision with traction, okay? So this is titled Keeping Score. Like the prophet Ricky Bobby said, I play for keeps. We got to play for keeps. We keep score. So here's how we keep score. Can you tell me this? Would you agree? You can usually tell a difference if you're driving through a park and there's some kids on the basketball court shooting hoops. You don't even have to know them, and you don't have to do a big investigation to see whether they're keeping score or not. There's an intensity, there's a clarity, there's a focus, there's a position, there's a loss of laziness, there's an energy when they're keeping score versus they're just playing pig and they don't even know who's got a P and who's got an I, right? So keeping score, if we don't know how to keep score or we're not keeping score, can we expect the same intensity from our teams when we know we wouldn't expect that if you were just shooting hoops with your kids outside by the garage versus, you know, nothing gets crazy like a church basketball league, you know, and they're keeping score, bless God, and, you know, keeping score, all the cuss words they're dropping. Anyway, keeping score, here's kind of what we do to set the one goal for the year and then work off of that, all right? So keeping score, number one, no goal equals no win. If there's no goal, there's no real win. Hey, let's celebrate wins together. Well, that we can celebrate how we felt about stuff, but if we didn't put the bullseye somewhere and shoot an arrow towards it, we can't really celebrate a bullseye. You know, the only way you celebrate a bullseye is if you paint the bullseye on the wall and shoot the arrow and see if it actually hits the bullseye. So no goal equals no win. I did this at district council a couple years ago, but I need two guys to help me out. I've been having the ladies walk with me. I need two guys. Landon, help me out. Who else wants to help me out? Joshua, you got it? All right, stand right here. I want you guys to put your feet just like this at the back, you know, just like right here. Stand right here, okay? And we'll start with you, Josh, okay? Now, come over here. Landon, go over there. Go over there. Get over there. Okay. Jump as far as you can. Just one jump. Okay, very good. Stop. Okay, there you go. I'm going to mark you right there. Okay, Landon, let's see how you do. Jump as far as you can. I don't care. Whatever. Jump as far as you can. Okay, stop. Whoa! Landon's got hopes. Okay, now go back. Let's get it. I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you a second chance, okay? I'm going to give you a second chance. Let's see what we can do. Okay, Josh, there's your markers. Jump as far as you can. Okay. All right, Landon. Scoot over. Well, you got to just jump as far as you can. All right, on the marker, back a little bit, about 3 inches. There you go. Jump as far as you can. Far as you can. Uh-oh! Okay, sit down. Thank you, guys. Give him a hand. What instructions changed? I said the exact same thing. Jump as far as you can. Because he jumped and set a marker, it actually put Landon at an advantage. I said the exact same thing to Landon. Jump as far as you can. So he jumped. He could have, Josh, to his credit, he didn't give it his best on the first one. He's like, okay. You know, come on, dude. Fuego Church and you're jumping like that? I expect you'd be like, okay. You... You undermine people's potential and capacity when you don't set a marker to jump towards. You undermine their potential and their capacity when you don't set something out here to jump towards. So the second time around, what they had was a goal. They started jumping. There was no goal. Jump as far as you can. And then, you know, we'll give you a Christmas bonus for it. Yeah, youth ministry, at least nobody died. Let's set a goal and let's jump towards it. Let me give another example. Without showing off our belly buttons, stretch your hands as high as you can. Put your hands as high as you can. Both hands. Up. High as you can. All right, hold them there. Hold them there and be still. Hold them there. Okay, everybody look around. Okay. Give me one more inch. One more inch. Okay, stop. I said, put your hands as high as you can. Put your hands as high as you can. High as you can, high as you can, high as you can. And then I say, give me one more inch. And everybody gave me another inch. That's the power of goals. That's the power of setting a marker and giving one more inch and pushing to be there. So we set two key goals for the year. One is the overarching goal, which we call a BHAG. It's from Jim Collins, BHAG. Jim Collins, Good to Great, talks about BHAG. You can write it down in the blank. It is the big, hairy, audacious goal. You know how you laugh and you pee just a little bit, or is that just me? Like, you ought to just be a little nervous about that big, hairy, audacious goal. It's a big, hairy, audacious, man, we're going to do this. We're going to raise this money. We're going to get this many people baptized. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to have to baptize the dogs in the parking lot to get there, but we're going to bless God. We're going to baptize. We're going to get as many people that are pregnant in here, get them baptized. Count it. Life starts at conception. Big, hairy, audacious goal. The S-bag. Oh. What? I don't get it. What are you left? Stretching but attainable goal. It still ought to stretch you. You still ought to be able to push. But we're not going to try and knock Josh's back out of joint by pushing so hard. Look, here's one of the best goals you can make is one that will help you go a little bit farther. How many people set these outrageous goals and then they don't like to set goals because they set them so far they're not even attainable. So it's okay to have a big, hairy, audacious goal. But back it up, undergird it with a stretchy but attainable goal. Okay, so the BHAG for Timber Creek in 2020 is 20% in 2020. That's our big overarching goal. That's a big, hairy, audacious goal because we grew so much. We're not launching another campus this next year. We may do another prison venue or a language venue. We're even thinking about doing, you know, assisted living venue, but we'll see. So 20% in 2020, that would put us at basically, I said it here, we're a little over 2,400 right now, but that would mean we would go from 2,400 to 2,880. That's our big, hairy, audacious goal. No way we would have been even thinking about this a couple years ago. At the beginning of 2017, when we were running 1497, I said, let's be 1,800 by the end of 2018. But then I gave them the qualifying metrics of this is how we're going to, these are the components we must focus on. And every department, I don't care if the youth ministry grows by another 100 kids, but we don't hit our goal. I want Cameron to feel the pressure, Pastor Cameron, that your job isn't just to be youth pastor, you're part of this team. You're here to help the whole church. How did the whole church get to where we need to go? Because what happens when the wide receiver has all kinds of yards, but they lose the game? The locker room shouldn't be about that wide receiver. Man, I broke some records today. No, everybody ought to be like, we didn't win. We didn't win. Well, I did my job. I did my part. Well, you still lost. Do you see how building the cohesive team, communicating clarity, over-communicating clarity, and then keeping clarity through these systems, the goal system is a critical to keep everybody focused on the same thing, okay? So 1,800 by the end of 2018, we hit it. Now that was in 2017. Then when 2018, the BHAG there, I called it the 700 Club. What is the 700 Club, big, hairy, audacious? That we would go from 1,800 to 2,500. That was the 2019 goal. That's what we're in right now. The 700 Club, to go from 1,800 to 2,500 and to go from 500 Dream Teamers to 700 Dream Teamers. So 700, the big, hairy, audacious goal was add 700 to attendance. The stretching but attainable goal was go from 500 Dream Teamers to 700 Dream Teamers. Last month, we hit 738 Dream Teamers. I'm going to tell you, it is the team that everybody's thinking, what's the big goal? So it's not, how do I pull off this huge youth event? Or how do the children make sure that we get this done? Like, how do I add teams and what's our number? Like knowing the number, knowing where we are, having an update on those. How many people? I've been guilty. I've been here 14 years. We've only been doing this 3 years. I've been guilty of it. Like, all this stuff gets lost in the shuffle of everyday life, and you don't stay hot. So you set goals in January, but then the pastor never brings it back up, but you don't bring it back up either. And so then you're going through the same old staff meetings, like talking about the same old things. And then you're frustrated because you haven't been able to do what you want to do, but nobody really set a goal. Nobody gave me an extra inch. And you're not talking about it. So the stretchy but attainable goal, I mentioned it last night, is stick the landing. Now that's not really a goal, that's more language, and then I put the goals in underneath it to make it, like, a goal has to have like points added to, like, you have to be able to measure it. Stick the landing is this ethereal feeling of, yeah, I think we really stuck the landing today. So how do you make that, like, why will who do what by when, right? So here are the pieces of that. And this really, I'm telling you, an original with me, but these, like, I don't think there's many more places than these three areas that you have to focus on creating metrics. More people in, okay? Got to have more. Would you like to have more people in your church next year this time, right? Okay, I think Jesus would like that too. Did the disciples, when they launched out into the deep and they cast their nets down for a catch, did they catch all the fish in the lake that day? They caught a lot. Did they catch all the fish? No. How many fish did they catch? As much as their nets would hold. You want to catch more fish, he's ready to stir the water. You got to build bigger nets, create more capacity. And I would say that sometimes we're wanting four bags of gold, but we've only been good with one. And so what we're doing is we want the four bag of gold responsibility of all these people, but if we're not really taking them on a journey of spiritual development, maybe Jesus isn't going to bring them to you. He's about stewardship too. Okay, so we got to get more people in. For us, here's what that looks like. We got to simply be bolder this year. Okay, so this is my rally. This is what I did for November leadership development. I set the 2020 goals in November. I set the 2019 goals last year in November. I set the 2018 goals in November, okay? Simply bolder. What that means is we got to be bolder at come and see. So we got to fix how we're communicating outside the four walls. We've got to fix the onboarding of guests. Even though the starting point is a good process, we got to back up from there and think through, thrash through the complexity and demand a simpler way on how we're connecting. The website has got to be more user-friendly. And do you know the number one thing you need on the front page of your website? Service times. How far does someone have to scroll? How far does someone have to look to figure out when your service time is? Like, you get, like, just put it right on there. Well, it doesn't look as sexy. Who cares? Like, well, make it look sexy, but I don't know if you can make a church website look sexy. Man, that was a sexy website, wasn't it? Church, yeah, Timber Creek. Bolder at come and see, so we're inviting. So what does that mean? How do we get bolder at come and see? I've got people getting bolder at inviting people to church. So it's not just on our end of the internal communications going external. It's getting our people rallying, saying, hey, this next week would be a great time for you to lean in and invite that person from your school. This is a great look. I wouldn't say to you like, hey, invite your friends because I'm going to talk about finances. Like I'm talking about how to get over a deep wound. You do not. This is a great time to bring a friend. It's going to be very helpful for them. Okay, you're setting up the predictability. They're able to invite their friend, and they get something that's a handlebar, and that's so you're getting better at come and see because you're equipping your people to actually invite. Bolder at go and share. 50% of your community is never going to be in your church. There's a reason why we're empowered by the Spirit to go out. To just invite them to church? No. I heard this from John Maxwell. If the business world heard what I just said, that 50% of your potential business is never going to go into your box store, business leaders would drop everything. They would go to the boardroom. They would get on the whiteboard. They would do some statistics. They would do some research, and they would come up with a strategy to get into the market share of the 50% that's never going to go into their store. Because they care about profit. The way John Maxwell says, it's very concerning that the business world cares more about sales than the church cares about souls. Because why aren't we strategizing to reach people where they are? I love the come and see model. I love the come and see model. But we're not going to reach all the people we need to reach if it's just that. So we got to get bolder at go and share. So what are we going to do? We're going to provide. We're going to provide a burst. We're not going to add all these new programs of community evangelism and all this stuff, but we're going to provide some sermons this year. We're going to provide some help. We're going to provide some guides. We're going to give them some tricks and some invite hacks, and we're going to help them during this season of our year get better and stick the landing and help them write a 30-second. Everybody ought to be able to tell a 30-second story of where they were, how they found Jesus, how my life is now, and if he can do it for me, he can do it for you too. Like, everybody's got to be able to say 30-second story. And man, we're preaching sermons on the dimensions of the temple. That's great. They're not even inviting people to church. I'm so glad you found out how big, you know, Solomon's colonnade is. Your uncle's still a drunk, degenerate pervert, and he needs to be invited to church. And if he's not going to come to church, you got to go share the gospel with him. No, I'm really comfortable with you guys. This is fun. It's all about invites and outreach. We got to help people invite and outreach. Invite and outreach. Invite and outreach. That's how we're going to get more people in. So what happens? Youth ministry needs to be thinking about getting bolder on sharing the faith, come and see, go and share. They need to be thinking about invites and outreach. So I don't want rocks about how much the cool merchandise you're going to make this year, which our team's got incredible merch. You can't call it merchandise anymore. You got to call it merch. The merch table. Oh, that's cool merch. Have you seen? That's got some sweet merch. Anyways, Cameron even in here? He's not even in here. I love it. But like, who cares if you got... Now, that's part of like developing an outreach. That could be considered part of your PR, right? The merch. But we got to go beyond that, and we've got to have a system of how are we going to come and see, go and share for you. Children. So here's the deal. Let me help you stack the dominoes. Do outreaches on Sunday mornings versus trying to do them on Saturdays. Like, you can do some PR stuff, Blueberry Festival, handing out sunshades. We rented out the water park in Nacogdoches, and they were normally $19 to go in, and we did them for $5 a piece, and we had 3,000 people in the water park, and they gave us their information. By the time they got home, we had people on laptops inside Splash Kingdom sending them an invite to church the next Sunday for the new series that was starting. So by the time they got home and happened to check their mail or happened to get that text, they're already seeing it. And so you can leverage those things, but can I tell you the best thing? Like, do stuff on Sunday morning that people can invite their friends to. Have food trucks after a service. Have the kids do Pop-Tarts in pajamas. May the 4th be with you. If that's on a Sunday, we had Darth Vader walking around and you know, Jedis and all this stuff in children's ministry because May the 4th be with you was on a Sunday, and they got to dress up like Star Wars. And guess what? You got a bunch of parents in there because they're friends. If you're going to do a backpack giveaway, don't do it on a Saturday. Do it on a Sunday morning after a service. And hand out the backpacks afterwards. Just do it. Something that I don't even know if the team knows I canceled this. I realized, guess what? We're not going to do that Monday thing. I thought we were going to do that Monday thing in between Christmas services. It's called Remember the Titans. It's called Remember the Titans thing. That's the Remember the Titans clap that they do when I do it, when I make a good move. What we were doing is Sunday services for Christmas, 9:30, 11, 15, and 5 p.m. We were going to take Monday off. We had this idea of making like Santa's workshop and having Santa wave and come get pictures with Santa. We weren't doing an evening service on Monday. Then we're doing a Tuesday service at 4 and 6, which is Christmas Eve, 4 and 6 at Nacogdoches, 4 and 6 here. We're doing two prison services. We've got 13 services between all our campuses and venues. But that Monday, it's great to get the pictures of Santa. Wonderful idea. We had great ideas. The ideation was through the roof. I'm going, oh, what if, you know? And I'm thinking, but then when I started thinking about it more deeply, like, I'm connecting them to the parking lot and Santa. Right. Like, I can have Santa in the lobby, right, and whatever you feel about that, that's between you and, right, and Santa. If you have an... I tell people, you know, I just don't like that the church is lying about, you know, what are they going to do about Jesus? And here's my go-to statement on Facebook and in person. Out of 20 years of ministry, the counseling I've done, the conversations I've had, the coffees, the issues, you know, there's been a lot of people, but there's not been a single person say, you know, my marriage was going okay, and but you know, my life was good, but then I found out my parents lied about Santa. And I'm like, I'm an atheist. I have never had that conversation. Moving along. I don't got time, people. You're pulling all this good stuff out of me. I don't got time, all right? More people in, but you gotta have less people out. More people in, less people out. So what do you got to do with less people out? Here's what you do. You just got to simply be better. This is the stick the landing piece. So more people in, 20% in 2020, that's going to be a lot more people in, more people in, more people in. But the less people out, we got to simply get better. We got to carve through anything complex and demand a simpler way. Okay, let me ask you about your Connect card. Anybody do a physical Connect card? Okay, who's riding the wave and you do a digital Connect card? Dang, Gina, awesome, get it, I love that. I asked my team, where is it, Chris? Yeah, okay, you guys handed this out in the session. I asked my team, this is our Connect card. Hey, thanks for coming in here. I know you've never been here. You don't know who I am. You don't know who anybody else is in here. Would you mind filling out this Connect card? Number one, can I give you a real quick hack? Don't have anybody do anything for you. Would you do us a favor? No. Don't. They don't even know you. Why? Like, that's nice, but it's your job to do unusual servanthood, not theirs. They're not doing you a favor. So twist that to say, you may be thinking, man, what's next? How do I get more information? Like, we want to answer your questions. One way we feel like we can serve you is the Connect card. So they're not doing you any favors. We want to help you get connected and answer questions that you might have, add value to your life. So if you'd like to fill that Connect card out at the end of the service, you can drop it in the offering plate, and that'll be our way to serve you best we can. Thank you for taking the time to do that. But then I had the conversation with the team. I said, you know how, here's what we're asking our guests to fill out. Date. Why can't we know the date? We're putting them in the offering plate. We can figure out the date. First time guess, second time guess. TCC regular. What does even TCC mean? What is TCC? I mean, we know Timber Creek Church, but what is TCC? Right? Update my info. Okay, we want to make sure to do that. Other, there's a place for other. What other? What are unchurched Carl? What's he going to be asking for other? The sound is too dang loud. Like that's. Then we've got a line, name, phone number, email. Then we've got this, single, divorced, widow, widower, married, name of spouse. Then we ask him, is spouse attending with you? Yes or no? Address, apartment number, city, state, zip code. What's your birthday? What's your spouse's birthday? And they don't even know the name of the pastor. And you have basically asked them, what's your flipping credit card score? If you as a pastor wouldn't go give this out to somebody saying, you know, anybody else avoid the people in the middle of the mall. Like, can I ask you a question? Have you smelled this? Would you like to have this cream? You avoid those people like the plague, but that's what we're becoming on Sunday. Okay? So then it's got a red line. Today I'm making a decision to start following Christ. Today I'm going to commit. Get connected. Ready to take a next step. Let us know if you'd like more info on Starting Point, groups, stream teams, water baptism, need a Bible. Now, you got to have some content. You got to have some communication. But then what makes it worse is you flip it over and it's need prayer? Date. Name. Phone. Email. What's your address? Because, you know, we can't pray with you unless you got your address. City, state, zip. But here's what happens. This gets stuck in a seat back pocket and nobody's ever thinking about this again. So we got to stick the landing. And we got to simply be better. And so we got to uncover anything and everything and be willing to say, is that the best we can do? So can I, let me show you the new Connect card. Here's the new Connect card. Name, email, cell phone optional. A red line, today I'm making a decision to follow Christ. Today I'm recommitting my life to Christ. Prayer needs, prayer's paramount here at Timber Creek. We'd love to pray for any needs you have. If they don't want to get, they're not filling it out anyway, everybody. Just hear me. They're not filling it out anyway. So, but man, what are you going to do if you don't, how can you send them a form letter if you don't have their address? Don't send them a form letter. So what you do is you develop a system that undergirds that and say, your next step is Starting Point. Can I tell you, better than a form letter, if they give you the cell phone, for someone on the staff to send them a text, hey, got your card. So thankful you visited. How was your experience? Don't ask them, did you have a good time? You basically kind of dovetail them into saying, you know, no, that was crappy, or no, it was really good, and they're not going to really share. How was your experience? Okay, you're able to do that. So then in Starting Point, guess what? Guess what's a better time to get all that information? After they've self-identified that they want to go deeper into your church and you've got a system, and so they're sitting around a round table and we say, hey, before we get like signed up for Dream Teams, we do need to have some info from you. If you can fill out this, your address and, you know, marriage status and stuff, you know, if you can fill that out here, well, they're already trusting you. Do you see? So the easier we can make make it simply, got to thrash through the complex. This is so complex. And we didn't even, it's like Lloyd Christmas. I got robbed by an old lady and I didn't even see it coming. Like we didn't even see this coming. But this is just it's a good little catch. People have to feel needed and known. So these are the three, and I've got one more. More people in, less people out. People feel needed and known. Do you know why those people still stay at that church that hasn't had a baptism in 12 years? And nobody's even gotten saved? And the preacher is on oxygen? Like literally? And you got a guy in the corner doing sign language and nobody's deaf? I wish I was making that up. I don't even know if it's real, some of the things they're doing. I thought it was like human video going on, you know? He was like doing the whole puppet. Smoke. Arise, my love. Woo, I had too much caffeine at lunch. People are needed and known. That woman stays there and is willing to sit in the nursery by herself because there hadn't been kids in that nursery because someone knows her name and she feels needed because someone said thank you. And they're developing a culture of needed and known. And like, if we get all these systems in place, but people don't feel needed and known. I'm not even talking about maximum strength needed and known. I'm talking about the minimum dosage and increase it if you need to, depending upon the situation. So when the funeral, your needed and known goes up. Marriage, needed and known goes up. Babies, needed and known goes up. Like, hey, Carl, what's up, man? Did you see that game? You know, you're just connecting. You're feeling needed and known. How'd your daughter do on that recital? Just feeling, just needed and known. Just, it's amazing how little we can do to add more impact of people feeling needed and known. So we say it like this. We got to go from simply being friendly to simply befriending. So don't tell me you're a friendly church. Like, that's part of the, like, duh. Like, if you're not a friendly church, you are missing something big time. Like, that's part of the uniform. Like, that's like putting pants on in the morning, being a friendly church. But we take it to the next level when we become a befriending church. So the difference between being friendly, as I mentioned earlier, somewhere around here, was the greeter opening the door, being friendly, versus having a goal to learn as many new names as possible. That becomes more of a befriend. One of the simplest things we can do in our churches, we did it for 2 weeks, just a couple weeks ago, because we were launching Nacogdoches. We gave everybody name tags right after the worship moment, before I preached. I said, hey, in a bigger church, sometimes you can feel swallowed up and all these other things. But you know, we want to be on a first name basis. If you want to put your name tag on, just put your first name there. I got it on Jeremy. And so we just want to there's so many new people. It'd be great to be able to just see you and say, hi, Landon. And it's amazing how that just sparks little conversations. All right. It's an easy way for people to feel needed and known. Befriending. And what I put on befriending for our staff, we gotta be willing to get back a little old school and like pick up the dadgum phone and make a phone call so people can hear your voice. Telephone calls. Just make some telephone calls. So how many phone calls is a goal that each person can make a week in order to give legs to the needed and known? Because needed and known is this very heartfelt thing. How do you put legs to it? You say, I'm going to make 20 phone calls a week. And I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make the 20. I hate it, but I'm going to do it. Can I tell you something that boosts our attendance every time we do it? We only do it 2 times a year. It is in the middle of our prayer and fasting, so it's a super easy win. We say to dream teamers that we know, we say, for those who are going to do pizza and prayer calls, come up. We do it from 6:30 to 8. They use their own cell phones. We get up here at the church. We all hang around the church using cell phones. Some people that want to use the church phone, we got 5 or 6 lines. We make the phone calls of this list of people that are disconnected. Or they're kind of there, but they're on the fringe. And we simply say, hey, we're in 21 days of prayer, just making some phone calls to you know, friends and family. Anything we could be praying with you about, then shut up, listen, and see what happens. It's amazing how that simple phone call that's from 6:38 stimulated growth way more than trying to figure out where we put the bounce houses and, man, what food trucks are we going to have to get over here? Still do it. You can do those things. But it's amazing how already the people that have been there but are out here on the fringes, by just reconnecting with the phone call, how that can happen. Just do it twice. Do it 3 times. Be crazy. Do it 4. Okay. Go back. The goal is to do it on a Thursday and not earlier in the week. I said Tuesday. The goal is to do it on a Thursday because we want it as close to the weekend as possible. We also want to try and be starting a new series, or even to be able to say after we prayed for him, hey, Pastor Jeremy's starting a new series all about issues, blah, blah, blah. We'd love to see you on Sunday. It's amazing the cool stories that have come out of that. People saying, man, I haven't been in church in so long. I needed this call today. I'm telling you, it's just, you know how you develop culture? You share those stories. Like, do the phone calls. You'll get stories. You'll get them. You'll get them. Tables. People feel needed to know. Let's get people around as many tables. Now, don't say circles are better than rows, because basically you're saying then nothing can happen in the Sunday morning service. Don't ever say circles are better than rows, but God wants to use circles and rows. And so when we get people in tables, there's some cool things that happen relationally. So how many people are we going to get around tables? So Jan and I had a goal. We wanted 100 people in our home in the year 2019. So we are over 240 now, people that have been in our home. Why? Because we started doing some of these events that we were doing, like here. I said, hey, let's just do it in our home. That helps set a goal. It also, it's amazing, the conversation I could have here with people around round tables versus when they're hanging out and they're using Pastor Jeremy's bathroom. I didn't even really have to talk to them much, how much more connected they feel. Now, I know pastors, your house is your sanctuary. You got, don't put Saul's armor on you. But I have just learned I can gain so much relational collateral by, it's not everybody. Hey, Starting Point graduates, everybody. Hey, you just came in. You smell like, you know, whatever. Just come on in. Like we, you know, I mean, we don't invite just everybody to the, and I don't do a group in particular other than our deacon team group at our house. But it's just a way to help people feel needed and known. The top 50 giving families I've had in my home this year. And saying to them, you're givers of your finances. You're also givers of your time and your talent. And I just wanted to spend some time. I wanted to ask you some questions on how do we get more money out of you? You know, and you know, we have fun. And it's so much more relaxed when they're in my living room and we're laughing together versus being on Sunday morning. How much money can I get from you tonight? Oh, who'll give me 100? Testimonies. You want to help people feel needed and known? Stop trying to do an I am second 4-hour edit on a video testimony and just get somebody just to come up with you real quick. Don't give them the microphone unless you totally trust them, but say, I was just talking with Sarah out in the lobby. See, I've already got one planned for a couple weeks from now with Sister Ann Lewis, her and her husband were the pastors here in 1970 to 1989. She just went through Starting Point. One of the matriarchs who is the senior pastor's wife for 19 years went through Starbucks. She went through Encounter. She's in Grow Track what?
She's gone all the way through all Grow Tracks now.
She just finished up Grow Track 3. Why? She wants to be a part of what God's doing here. So think about what is. I could have the media team spend hours on editing something and really like, woo, who knows how Sister Ann's going to do on video. But when I just bring her sweet little 4'2" frame up there, and I just, but she's a little taller than that, but I bring her up, I feel so giant next to her. It feels so good. I love standing by her next in the lobby. I just, what's up? Say, Sister Ann just went through Starting Point. Like, if you've been saying, I don't need Starting Point, Sister Ann, like, she knows Jesus more than you do. And she saw the need, she saw how easy that testimony, that story. And then what I'll do when I bring her up, I say, Sister Ann, before we go into the sermon today, will you just pray over us? Hand her the mic. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. And it's going to be old school for a moment, and people are going to eat it up. All of a sudden, all those senior citizens that they sacrifice so much more because they have to give up their preferences and take on purpose, and you got to communicate that all the time. I know it's not your preference. It's not your preference. But we're after your grandkids. We're after your grandkids. Filda, Dan's next door neighbor, 70 some years old. Her husband's 70 plus. We tried Timber Creek, and we left in 5 minutes. It was too much. Dan said, you ought to give us a second chance. They did. They're serving at the Nacogdoches campus. They've gone through Starting Point. They love it. Because why? Because we knew it wasn't necessarily our style, but when my daughter and her kids came into town, I said, you guys want to go to church with me? They said, Grandma, your church is boring. And she said, well, I'm actually going to a new church. I think you'll like it. And when I came to church, and I saw my daughter with tears streaming down her eye, her cheeks, and her kids engaged and taking notes during a sermon, I said, this is our church. This is our church. Yeah, style of music, I am, oh, Lord. But I love that my daughter and my granddaughter are in church. So you got to show them the purpose over the preference. And you got to be willing to have the hard conversations with those people too. Can I tell you, anytime you can just love on them, if you were with me on a tour, just always take a moment. Always take a moment. Love what you do. Thank you for everything you guys do for the church. Man, heroes right here. Urban Lucille. Is that not awesome? Like old people names, everybody. Urban Lucille. Love him. She's like, you're crazy, you know. And she's like, I don't like you covering up the seats, though. Let me give you another hack. A woman didn't like we were bringing coffee in the sanctuary, and I said, I know that bothers you. I know. When you gave this to Jesus, when you prayed about this, what did Jesus say about it? You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, you didn't pray about it? Yeah, okay. Oh, it's your preference? Oh, it's your preference? It's not, it has anything to do with the gospel? Oh, okay, all right, okay. And tap shoulders. You want to help people feel needed and known, telephone calls, get them around tables, talk about the testimonies, and tap some shoulders. Hey, I've been looking for somebody to be in red carpet with me. Is that something you'd be interested in? Have you been through Starting Point? I don't know anybody in there. I'll go through it with you. I need to talk to my coach. I'm going to have to figure that out. I'll go through it with you. Tap some shoulders, man. The Facebook, the email blitz, the thing in the bulletin, and the pulp, you know, the pulpit announcement. Forget it. That's a warm cup of water into the ocean by the end of the service. It's not going to do anything. So, you know, the pastor, like, tapping shoulders makes it personal. They feel needed and known. Can I give you another hack? Do one serves. Do one serves at Easter. Do one serves with outreach. Do one serves at December, where they don't even have to go through Starting Point. And you say, now we've got a process for you to be in a part of the team, but if you want to just dip your toe in the water of what serve, like without any commitment, without anybody like taking all your Saturdays, we do a one serve. You can sign up for the one serve right here online. You can sign up right there in your worship guide. Just one serve. We'll connect with you this week, and you can serve one place at one service during Easter, and you get to be a part of making a difference. So then they do it, and the coaches know they're one serving. They say, man, you did such a great job. I would love for you to be on my team. Any chance you want to get around a coffee table later this week? You're welcome. Okay. Keep going. The fourth one is know your numbers. We have to get better at this, but this is that's what we're doing this year. We're sticking the landing. Every staff member on your team, every staff member on my team, you ought to have a handful, because any more than that, you're not going to be able to remember them. You have to have a handful of numbers you're responsible for. So I'm responsible for the salvation number, because more than likely, people aren't going to get saved unless the pastor stops at the end of service and says, hey, you've been hearing what we're saying today, right? And then I got to help make sure that they are checking that on the very difficult, you know, tax return connect card that we've had. But I'm responsible for salvation number, so I got to track that. I got to know I got to know the threshold number. I need to know what is the weekly offering number to make budget. What do we need to be? Are we red this week as a stop? Are we behind it? Are we ahead of it? Are we right on it? When we add all those up, are we green? Are we red? Where are we? I need to know my numbers. You need to know your numbers. How many telephone calls you're going to make? How many testimonies you're going to cultivate in your ministry? What are you going to do? Know your numbers and let those numbers make sure that they are heated up and they are tested by fire by the team that all pushes towards 20% by the end of 2020. If those numbers are for more people in, less people out, people feel needed and known, I'm telling you, it's magic. It is. Everybody being unified. I guess I wouldn't really use the word magic. I guess I would think unity equals anointing. And we say, oh man, God just blessed. And he did. But you also got everybody unified. Going in the same direction, thinking the same way, tracking the same stats. and talking about those things in the meeting every single week. Let me finish with what, here's what we track. I think that's the next slide, right? Here's what we track. All right. We track these three things: empty seats, next steps, and generosity. Now, those are the points. Those equate to 10 or 11 key items. Empty seats, you can write them down next to it. Empty seats, we track attendance, guests, and Where's Waldo? What is Where's Waldo? Who knows what Where Waldo is? People that get lost, you got to find. So the way we count Where's Waldo is we're actually going to get, this is one we're having to stick the landing on. But what we're learning is our best chance at figuring out Where's Waldo, the person who slipped off the crack, we got to track our dream team sign-ins. So you know how kids sign in and they get the sticker? Every dream teamer on a Sunday signs in and gets a dream team sticker. Right after service, we can run a report of who's supposed to be there and who's not there. Hey, guess who I ought to make phone calls to this week? How about the people that didn't show up to serve? Hey, everything okay? Now, I'm going to pressure you. I'm just making sure everything's okay. I missed you today. Okay. Where's Waldo? When you track, because kids are signing in every week, but we used to do the registration book at every pew, you know, and you write it, and then someone's spending 47,000 hours creating content in a database that you never use. You know it's true. Instead, we can find out when kids have missed 2 weeks in a row, we can run a report. Oh, there's some families. Maybe you could, I don't know, maybe give them a call, right? That's Where's Waldo. That's how we just keep track. Simple. We can't catch everybody, and it's not your job to catch everybody. And we've got it. You got to be okay. Like I said last night, if angels left heaven, people are going to leave your church. It's just the way it's going to be. But it doesn't mean that you ought not be a good steward of those that are in the middle and in the less people out, you know, closing the back door kind of situation. Okay. The next steps, we count salvations. Go back one. Attendance, here's why if we can get them on this campus, we get a whole lot better chance at caring for them, praying for them, feeding them, leading them, helping them take next steps, helping cultivate generosity. So attendance is important, not because, well, that's just the number, but knowing where you stand and the stewardship of those people, it's not because we want to catch some other, and I'm going to tell you, you know why we track attendance? Because we're tracking against ourselves. You know, everybody counts attendance differently anyway. I was at Life Church. They said this. Look, there's so many double counts. They had a number up there. I almost just fell on the ground and just died. Like, their weekly offering was $2 million. Their average attendance so far that year was 98,000 a weekend. But he said, but there's a lot of doubles in there, and we're counting volunteers twice, maybe sometimes three times if they're working more than one service. So that number is skewed, but it's skewed. We don't care because it's actually, if we were 92,000 and everything was skewed last year, but we're 98,000 and everything's skewed this year, it actually does give you a good picture. So, I mean, some people, you're counting pregnant dogs in the parking lot. And you're double counting kids, and if they're the choir there twice, you count the choir. Just count it consistently, and then measure it against yourself. Who cares what Elevation's doing? Just measure it against yourself. Who cares what Timber Creek's doing? Just measure it and just say, we're going to measure this because we can jump further. Because we measured it here, we can jump a little further next time. It's just for you. Okay, empty seats, next step, salvations, water baptisms, group number. Individuals that have connected to a group at least twice. We count it at the beginning of the season of groups. We count it at the end. We can't always be counting every person that's in a group. So we try to just track it that way to have how many people are in groups. I would say when you count the actual number of groups versus the people in groups, that doesn't give you, because you got some groups it's them. And it's like two people. And so, yeah, you've got 48 groups, but you have 10 of those that are running less than three. And so it doesn't give you a good, accurate number. So count the people once at the beginning and once at the end to kind of see where you're tracking. Starting point numbers, people that go through all 4 weeks of starting point, and then dream teamers. What's our number on how many dream teamers we have, how many dream teamers we need to go, And can I tell you, if you'll grow the dream teamers, you'll grow the attendance. Get more people in dream teams, you'll grow the attendance. Get more people serving, you'll grow the attendance. It is like the same way where your treasure is, your heart will be also. They are intertwined. When you get more people serving, you get more people coming. They are connected. Less people serving, less people coming. Generosity. First time giver letters that we give out, we're going to track that number. We want to set a goal, and we're going to give first time giver letters. We're going to track the tithe challenge cards. How many people hand in the tithe challenge? We've been doing a 90-day tithe challenge. What are we thinking? Let's make it simpler. They haven't even ever tithed a day in their dadgum life, and now you want them to do it for 90 days. So what are we changing it to? The three-check challenge. Three-check challenge. The next three checks you get, put God to the test. Put him first. Three-check challenge. And see if God doesn't provide for you. See if you don't wake up going, what are we going to do? Or if like, wow, man, I guess this thing works. See, if it doesn't work, we'll give you the money back. Okay? We'll give you the money. We'll give you the money back. You ask for it, we'll give you the money back. No big deal. Three-check challenge. Put God to the test. Then weekly giving average. So we have a threshold. If we're going to hit budget, we have to have a certain number every single week on average. 55,000 is what that number is. I will tell you, if we were a church of 2450 in Dallas, we would have a much larger budget. So we're doing everything all in, and our budget will be 2.8 million this year. We don't budget on projections, but we are believing our goal. The goal, the number is 3.1 for next year. But right now, budget is 2.86 for next year. But the goal of giving is a 3.1. Okay. Let me finish with this, then we'll be ready for our final deal. Now I'm going to start giving you a little bit of content. I'm sorry that it's been an overload. Traction and Pulse Meetings. Where's Talia? She left. Is she helping out? What's going on? Talia! No. I'm telling you guys, I love my team. I am so thankful for my team. Haven't they served you well? Yeah. They've served you well, yeah. Yeah. Is she coming? Huh? Okay. She just taking a smoke break? Where's Courtney? Courtney, come here. Courtney is the executive assistant for Pastor Talia, and even though her title is executive assistant, we do not try to limit leadership capacity by titles. Titles are just titles. They're there for clarity. But they're like I want our custodians to be great leaders. Right? Executive assistant, she is a leader monster. She got a whole lot more responsibility than just the title that she has. Why? Because you got to give people that have good capacity, you got to give them more responsibility. You got to give them more leadership, give them more ownership. Tell us about what the Pulse meeting looks like. Who's in it, how we do it, go.
So we have Pulse meetings that happen weekly.
Shocker.
We have Pulse meetings that happen weekly. They are led by our department heads. So we have our executive pastors that each lead a department. So they lead what is our weekly Pulse meeting, basically just a weekly team meeting. And we use what is called Traction software, which is based on a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. It's actually written for businesses, but a lot of churches are beginning to use that model. And so we are using that model, and they have this software that you can pay for, and it basically does everything that the book tells you you should do. It does all of those things. And so every team has a Pulse meeting, and those Pulse meetings go over key areas. The way that Traction tells you to structure a meeting is you have all of these, could you go to the, click on the L10, Pastor Chris?
Yeah.
And then if you'll go to the Pulse, yeah, that one right there, the Ops LV's team. Pulse meeting, if you click on that one. Okay, so I'll just walk through. So the itinerary of the meeting is here on the side. Now, ours looks a little bit different. If you read the book, Traction says you have all these sections that are 5 minutes each. You hit them, bam, 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 bam. And then you save discussion for the issue section. So anything that you need to talk through and determine, you do in issues, and you look at your stats and you see where you are in the first sections of the meeting. Ours is a little bit different.
Can we go through those then?
Yeah, ours is a little.
Can we go back to the first page real quick and show the stats, and then Courtney, let me have you lean in, and then Tally, if you want to join us, you can. Go back to the first page.
The workspaces, yeah. There it comes.
People owning numbers. So JY, Sunday attendance, that's Jeremy Yancey. TCC Lufkin English. We have Edgar Marignan. TCC Lufkin English, the count is Whitney Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Edgar Marignan, he's responsible for that number. Lufkin Kidworks, Stephen Courtney right now, the director, because we don't have a deal. Dan and Laura, TCC NAC. Dieball Prison is Alvin Vanderlees, and there's his number. So you can see, when you type in your numbers every week, you can see where we just changed this to up to 2,500. And you can see that when September 9th through October 5th, the number was here. So we didn't hit our mark. Here we hit our mark. Here we hit our mark. Down here with TCC Lufkin English, I'm able to see, as far as adults go, 1,300, we're hitting the mark here. So if we're down in numbers here, where did we miss it? So we see all these other reds. Whoa, Dieball Prison venue was down 96. Well, it rained that day. And you have to walk 300 yards to get to the prison venue thing, and they only have one pair of clothes. So obviously your prison is going to go from 121 to 96 over 1 week because it's just raining. And you know how it is in Texas too. If it rains, like, everybody's like, oh, Jesus, help us. Now this one in Dieball, then we went up to 194. How did we go from 131 to 94? We gave out donuts. We gave out donuts to the prisoners. It is like we're giving them Christmas.
Well, yeah.
Donuts. We gave out pizza a couple weeks ago. Or no, donut. Guy hadn't had a donut in 38 years.
Wow.
38 years. Oh. I'm telling you, the prison venues have been a secret to our growth as well. I'm sorry. So you can see how, you can see Dream Team. Bonnie Rome is involved in Dream Team participation. We wanted to be over 100. And so, now that number isn't right, so that's something that needs to be adjusted. But you can see how you can easily start seeing where your numbers are. When you're red, it means you didn't hit it. When you're green, you hit it. So when you start going down, go now to the L10. And Courtney, talk us through now these quick agenda items.
Yeah. So ours is structured a little bit differently. One of our consultants said, even though you're running this software, you're a church, so you need to have some spiritual elements. So all of they have a devo and prayer time with their teams. So we start off our meetings with that. Then we go into the scorecard. The scorecard is synced across all three of our pulse meetings. So they're all looking at those same numbers.
I'll interject real quick.
Yeah.
The key to the success of this is the rules of engagement are you do not try to solve problems or do anything other than what is highlighted in the moment. And it has created such great discipline in our team. Mm-hmm.
So they go through the scorecard, they're looking at those numbers, they're seeing there was a huge decrease maybe in kids ministry or in one of the areas, and so we're saying, hey, let's make an issue, let's talk about what could have happened there, and we add that, it'll let you do it right there in the meeting, you can create an issue. Announcements, communication items, those are things that are just announcement, there's nothing to talk about, hey, just wanted to let everyone know this, and it's just a statement.
I'm out on Tuesday.
Yep, those kinds.
I've got his dentist appointment, I have this week now, shut up, just you're out on Tuesday.
Then we have our rock review. The rock review, everyone has their three rocks that they're responsible for. It's your goals for the quarter, so those are changed quarterly. And so when you get to the rock review, can you click start meeting as leader? Yeah. So if you'll click on the scorecard. Click on the scorecard. So they can all see the scorecard. You can click on rocks.
Go to rock review.
Yeah, rock review.
So you go through, hey, we want to have 800 at Dieball Prison and Duncan Prison for Christmas services. Well, that's not until the 10th and the 11th, but we're on track. We're making track. You don't have to spend much time on that, right? Or, man, I got some issues here. They're starting to tell, well, you're off track. You go red, okay? Find two impactful stories from the prison meeting. Done. We already got the two stories. We put them on video. That's a rock. It's a 90-day. It's a pretty simple 90-day deal. Identify a coach for GrowTrack, one, for the Dieball. So we're putting GrowTrack into the guys, be our guest. We knew we didn't have dessert, and so we wanted to offer a little bit. They couldn't wait any longer. We were They knew the moment we started talking about traction, you guys needed some sugar. There's some candied bacon there in the middle. These are some of our favorite things from some of our favorite restaurants. This is our last hurrah for you guys. Because, guys, since the team is in here, would you guys just do me the honor? Fantastic team. Michaela, my executive assistant, fantastic job. What a great day. We love you guys. Enjoy those desserts, but let's finish this up, because I've saved what I think to be actually the most important steps for you to take for last, and I don't want to run out of time and not give those to you, because then we'd have just like totally wasted the whole day. No, I'm kidding.
So just one,
go ahead.
Yeah, one other quick thing on rocks. It allows you to put in some milestones. So how do you know if you're on track or off track? Create these points. So in order to accomplish this goal, by this date, I need to have contacted such and such person. By this date, I need to have created this document or created the process that it's going to look like. So it lets you do that. When you're doing this in our meetings, we just say on track, off track, or done. We don't sit there and go, well, I'm off track because I got off, you know, kind of like Pastor Jeremy was saying. So, then we have a to-do list. On that to-do list section, you're touching base on to-dos that were assigned in the last meeting. So you just go through and see if those were accomplished. We
so
get into
everybody's rocks in front of everybody.
Right.
So it builds in the team accountability. If Courtney is off track and she's been off track for 3 weeks and everybody else is on track or done, what do you think we ought to talk about when it comes to issues? Things that are off track. What do you need? And you know what else it does? It also builds in, is there a way out? Do you need help with that?
It helps the team get involved in solving problems together and not just their leader and only being able to go to the leader and only be able to go. It delegates that decision-making opportunity.
So the rock reviews go in earlier. Who builds?
So we have, so the meeting is built by the executive pastors or their assistant build
so
their
we
meeting.
Quarterly,
so we build it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We have a quarterly meeting where it starts with Tally and I. She gets my heart for what's coming up, where we are. I get the details of where we are. We talk those things through, and we make sure we're setting some very big corporate rocks, and then they are responsible to develop those rocks. All of those leading to 20% by the end of 2020. All of those leading to stick the landing, okay? And so all of those have to come in, but we have to be consistent. It all breaks down if I'm not doing my job, she's not doing hers, then why should we even expect the staff to do their job?
Right.
So we've got to set the tone for that. And look, we're not perfect. We've missed deadlines where there's things like, but what we've tried to do so much this last year, and it's been the most growth we've had, is we've tried to be as consistent as possible with having these conversations, having these pulse meetings. Anything else you have?
On the rocks, real quick, you guys, there's a great system to it.
There's a system to the rocks. I'll make this super quick. But there's a system to the rocks. So you want to make sure that the lead pastor, the executive team, you guys are setting the corporate rocks. And what you just saw was our location venue pastors. These are our pastors who are over a location or a venue. So what you noticed was, you should have noticed, every pastor who is over a location venue is owning some of their rocks. We're pushing all of them, pushing towards the corporate goals. Listen to me. You cannot let your staff just set their own rocks. The rocks have to be like colonnades under a porch that help undergird and uphold the corporate rocks. Does that make sense? And so the executive team and I work together on those rocks, and then they're responsible for assigning the right rocks now to their team members. So I just want to make sure that there's clarity on that, that we don't randomly throw rocks out there. All rocks should be pushing towards the same big goals of the corporate rocks, and then there's the quarterly that make that happen. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure there's some clarity on that.
We could go all day about this, yep, because this has revolutionized our systems, but We're in the weeds on it. It's okay. This is very helpful. The book is Traction. The book is Traction. Mike, 30 seconds on Traction. Tell me about. I think I mentioned it to you. Everybody gets the Traction book. That's cool. Good. Awesome investment. Secular book, business style book, but it will help you with clarity and get those steps. Gino Wickham. Wickman is a worship guy, right? All right, let's get off of this, please.